Hello, thank you for joining the Camden First Assembly broadcast. We are so excited to share the Word of God with you today, believing that this Word is exactly what He has for your life. So, stay tuned for today's message, and as always, remember, there's a place for you at Camden First Assembly.
Well, I want to share this Word with you this morning. This is a Word that's been on my heart for several weeks, from Matthew chapter 26, verses 36 through 46. And typically, if you would preach this, you would preach it behind. You'd preach it in front of Easter, not behind Easter. But I'm gonna. I just follow the Holy Spirit, and we're just gonna do what He says. So I want to preach this message to you this morning, entitled "Thriving Under Pressure." Thriving under pressure. Tell your neighbor, we're born to thrive. We were created in the image of God. God created mankind in His image, and God created you and I to thrive. God created you and I not to just survive this life, but to thrive in this life. And if you're here this morning or you're joining us online today and you feel like you're just surviving, and we've all been there, amen? How many of you have ever been in those days where you're just surviving, right? I just want you to know that this Word this morning is, it's for you, from the Lord, and what I believe that He's speaking to us as a church today. But God wants to move you from that survival state to a state of thriving, even under pressure. In fact, I would say especially under pressure. And there's a lot of pressure that is taking place in our world right now, a lot of pressure and a lot of things that are happening and events that are unfolding in our world today. So Matthew chapter 26, starting in verse number 36, I'm reading from the New Living Translation today. It says this: "Then Jesus went with them to the olive grove called Gethsemane, and He said, 'Sit here while I go over there to pray.' He took Peter and Zebedee's two sons, James and John, and He became anguished and distressed. He told them, 'My soul is crushed with grief to the point of death. Stay here and keep watch with Me.' He went on a little farther and bowed his face to the ground, praying, 'My Father, if it is possible, let this cup of suffering be taken away from Me. Yet I want Your will to be done, not mine.' Then He returned to the disciples and found them asleep. He said to Peter, 'Couldn't you watch with Me even 1 hour? Keep watch and pray so that you will not give in to temptation. For the spirit is willing, but the body is weak.'" I like how the New International Version says it: "For the spirit is willing, but the flesh is weak." He goes on to say, "Then Jesus left them a second time and prayed, 'My Father, if this cup cannot be taken away unless I drink it, Your will be done.' When He returned to them again, He found them sleeping, for they couldn't keep their eyes open. So he went to pray a third time, saying the same things again. Then He came to His disciples and said, 'Go ahead and sleep, have your rest. But look, the time has come. The Son of Man is betrayed into the hands of sinners. Up, let's be going. Look, My betrayer is here.'" Let's pray. God, I pray in these next few moments of time as we dive into Your Word together, that Holy Spirit, You would speak to our hearts, that our hearts and our lives would just be met, God, with Your love, with Your peace, and with Your presence. Lord, we give You all the praise today for who You are and Your faithfulness in our lives. And God, I pray that for every person that's in this room today, for every person that's joining us online today, that they're under pressure. God, they're feeling the pressure and the weight, the burden, God, of life or a challenge or a situation or a circumstance that is ahead of them. God, I pray that today Your Word would bring peace, that Your Word would bring life, that God, You would bring revelation to us today, and that we would walk free, Lord, thriving in Your Word, thriving in Your plan and Your will for our lives. We give You all the praise today in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. Thriving under pressure. So we have Jesus. This is just after the Last Supper. He knows that the time is coming. His betrayer, Judas, is coming. And so Jesus knows what's before Him. Jesus knew what He was sent to the earth for. He knew what His purpose was. His purpose was to be the perfect Lamb of God that would take away the sins of the world. It's one thing to know. It's another thing to do. It's one thing to say, it's another thing to fulfill what's been said and to meet that. And so Jesus shares even more revelation with His disciples at the Last Supper, and then He knows the hour is here. This is the moment And he's feeling the full weight of everything that's about to take place, of everything that's about to unfold in the next several hours, leading ultimately to his crucifixion and to his death. In fact, he ends that last verse in verse 46, that last couple of verses about the Son of Man ultimately being betrayed into the hands of sinners. So Jesus, the perfect Lamb of God to take away the sins of the world, who was himself sinless, he was perfect, having no sin in his life, was betrayed and ultimately was held ransom for all of our sins. And it was God's plan. It was God's plan from the very beginning in sending Jesus. We know this from the Old Testament and the prophetic words that were given, scriptures that we read today that foretold Jesus is coming. So here Jesus has come. He spent the last 3.5 years of his life on the earth preaching the gospel, establishing the foundations of the new covenant that God was making available. And he's at this moment where he knows what's next. He knows what's about to happen. He knows what's coming next. And I don't know about any of you, but have you ever been in that moment where you knew what was coming next and you weren't necessarily excited about it? You ever been there? You ever had a situation like that? You ever had a circumstance like you knew what needed to be done next? You knew what was ahead of you, and you looked at it and you said, No, I don't think so. I'd rather not. You ever had those moments? You ever had something where you're looking at it and you're like, no, I just don't. I'm not convinced. Several years ago, it's probably been about 12 years ago now, we went with our youth and our young adults. I was serving as the young adult pastor at my home church in Jonesboro. I was myself, in fact, a very, very young adult. Still am a very, very young adult. Just want the record to be stated. I don't care how many times somebody looks at a picture of me from 10 years ago when I got here and says, oh, you look older. I rebuke you in the name of Jesus. So, but we had taken our youth for several years on winter retreats. Our students would have 2 weeks off between school with Christmas break and then usually the week of New Year's. And so we would take that week and we would go with our students usually to a campground. This one was the National Royal Ranger Campground up just outside of Branson, Missouri at Table Rock Lake. Thank you. Just needed to look at my wife and I'd remember. But we went and we would just spend a week up there and we would have services. We'd have services in the morning, services in the evening, and then just a time for our students to connect. I love those. Love winter retreats. Love camp for our students because our students are inundated right now with everything that the enemy can possibly throw their way to rob them of their identity in Christ, of who God has called them to be, of what God has purposed for their life. They face that every single day. If you are not praying for our kids and our students, you're missing one of the most important ways that you and I can be battling for the next generation of the church. Because when they get up in the morning and they step on that school campus, they are being flooded with every attempt of the enemy to confuse, to deceive, to rob them of who God has called and who God has purposed them to be. And we have to be on guard of that. So I loved camps and I loved winter retreats because back then we banned cell phones. And so they really got to unplug. They really got to disconnect for a whole week and just chase God and just seek the Lord. And so it was great. But on those trips, we would, in between services and different things, we didn't, you know, it wasn't one of those camps that's crazy and weird where, you know, you get up and you pray until the sun goes down and then you keep praying until it's midnight. We didn't, okay, there's a balance, all right? And so So we had activities, we had different things, and so we had things that you could do there in the main lodge and games and different things that you could play, and then we would do hikes, and we would go out on these different hikes. And so up there at that campground specifically, there were some pretty neat trails that would go up over the lake, and you could hike up to the top of this ridge. It's not really a mountain unless you went the way we went, but this ridge, and you could look out over the lake. And so we took off, and one of the youth sponsors. I was the young adult pastor, so the youth pastor, one of her team members, one of the young adult sponsors, he was leading the hike. So the youth pastor, our friend, good friend Bethany, she was the youth pastor at the time. She was, I don't know how she got out of that, but she stayed back at the lodge, probably to watch the other kids. That's what I should have done. And so our good friend and sponsor led the way, and there were a couple others of us that were on this, but he had gone out with the director of this camp and had seen the trail. He had shown him the marked off trail. And so he was leading, and I was bringing up the rear. And I did that on purpose because, one, he was skinny, and I'm not. And he was a fireman, volunteer fireman, is now a full-time fireman, so he was, you know, he could lead, and I could grab anybody myself that was behind. And so we take off on this trail, and it starts off, and the guy told us, he said, listen, this isn't some super advanced hike. You know, it's a pretty easy, I said, it's a good incline, he said, but it's a nice safe trail. So we take off, and we get about a quarter of the way through this, and everyone stops, and so we get the whole group stopped, and Jeremy kind of hollers back, and he's like, you think it's up to the left right here or over to the right? And I said, well, I didn't see. I didn't know what the guy said. And I said, I don't know. And he said, well, he said, they both go up. And I said, yeah, they do. And so he said, well, we'll go this way. And I said, okay, well, I'll follow you. So, oh, dear. So we took off, and this nice incline went to us being into this, yeah, steep is almost the right word for it, Katara. It was, we were climbing the side of a mountain. The ridge that I saw when we started turned into a mountain. And halfway through, we were looking at trees that were growing out from the side of the rock, okay? And so we're getting to places where we're standing, and we're literally having to help push kids up to grab the tree to get up to the next part. And so when we get to that moment and time, we're so far into it now that there's not really a turn back and go back. But I know what's in front of us, and I'm sitting here, and I'm going, I know what has to be done. I don't want to do it. And so I told our sponsor, I said, listen, you go on ahead and get to the top and help the kids as they come to the top. I'll stay here and help make sure that we don't lose anyone down the side of this ridge. And praise the Lord, no one was hurt and everything was fine and God was good. But I couldn't breathe for 2 weeks after that. But, you know, we were sitting there and I was thinking about this moment in Jesus' life. And obviously, climbing the side of a ridge is nothing in comparison to what our Savior was faced with and the weight of what he was going through. But all of us have been at those moments, and all of us have been at those places in life where we know exactly what's ahead of us. We know exactly what we're facing. We know exactly what we see. We know exactly what's coming, and we feel the weight, and we feel the pressure of what it is that we're up against and what it is that we're going through. And the enemy begins immediately doing everything that he can to discourage us. Our flesh, our own natural response, immediately begins looking at what's in front of us and immediately begins looking at what's ahead of us and immediately begins seeing the difficulty and the challenge that's ahead of us and trying to do everything that he can to rob us of the faith and the trust and the confidence and the hope that we have in Jesus. And so when we look at this account of where Jesus was at in this journey, there's some interesting things to know. Gethsemane, this garden in the New Testament where Jesus went, was at the foot of the Mount of Olives. So Jesus was literally at the bottom of a mountain when he went before the Lord when he was facing this. So there was this mountain that was in front of him. There was this large challenge that was ahead of him. So Jesus went to the Garden of Gethsemane. Well, Gethsemane in the Greek, which comes from the Aramaic originally, is translated oil press. And so Jesus, facing the challenge that was ahead of him and knowing what was near, went to the place, the oil press, and he went and he positioned himself before the Lord. So what's so significant and what's so interesting about all of this is that when Jesus when Jesus went, he was feeling the pressure of what was ahead of him. He was feeling the weight of that. We see that just a few verses in. Jesus says, I'm anguished. I feel the crushing weight of what's ahead of me to the point of death. He felt the heaviness and he felt the pressure of what was in front of him. And listen to me, church, so many of us have found ourselves in situations and circumstances and moments where we have felt that way ourselves, where we have felt that the things that we're walking through, the things of our past, the situations or the difficulties that are ahead of us, that they're so mounting, that they're so huge, that there's no way that we'll ever overcome, that we'll ever ultimately be the overcomer and the conqueror that God has called us to be and what's been positioned and what's been before us. And the thing that I love about this account that God was so good to put in the Word of God is that I believe it gives us a fresh revelation on how to thrive under pressure. Because what happened in this moment where Jesus was faced with this, usually what happens when we're faced with something as grave or as big or as major as some of the things that we deal with in our life is we have that fight or flight response, right? And so we have that moment where we decide we're either going to face this or we're going to completely and totally avoid it. And our society, our world today, our culture today is, well, avoid pressure if at all possible. Avoid pressure. If it just feels too much, if it just feels like just ignore it, you know. Walk away from it. Don't face it. Don't deal with it. But as believers, as followers of Jesus, there's some revelation and some truth in the Word of God that we need to understand that there are going to be moments and there are going to be times where we face pressure, where we go through seasons of pressure, and God's not called us to give in to the pressure. He's called us to thrive in the midst of it. And that's exactly what Jesus teaches us in this moment. Under the immense pressure that Jesus was in, there's a couple of key things that he did that gave him the ability to fulfill the will and the plan of God. God has a plan for you. God has a plan for you. Tell your neighbor, God has a plan for you. God has a plan for you. Now listen, the enemy's going to do everything that he can to steal, kill, and destroy. That's what Jesus said in John 10:10. But Jesus also said, but I have come that you may have life and life more abundantly. God knows the plans that he has for you and I. And the reality is that there are going to be moments and there are going to be times that God is going to call us to a place, that God is going to call us to a task, that God is going to call us to a season where there's going to be pressure, where we're going to feel the burden and we're going to feel the weight and we're going to feel the heaviness of what it is that we're under. But understanding how to respond and how to handle that changes everything. Isn't that what Jesus said in Matthew chapter 11, verses 28 through 30? He said, come to me, all you who are weary and heavy burdened, and I will give you rest for your souls. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for my yoke is easy and my burden is light. Now, how could Jesus say that when he was facing death? Because he knew what it took to thrive even under pressure. Because there's a couple of things about the Garden of Gethsemane that we have to understand. See, from man's perspective, this was the end for Jesus. But from God's perspective, this was just the beginning. See, this was the moment where everything was about to fall apart, where Jesus' ministry was about to be over. It was about to be completely sabotaged. Here, this great teacher that's been traveling all over the countryside has been doing all of these signs, wonders, and miracles and declaring of this new gospel and this new fulfillment of what God has said and what God has done. His ministry is about to be laden with scandal because he's about to be crucified. He's about to face death, and every person that's close to him is about to completely desert him because in this moment, in the enemy's eyes, in the world's eyes, it's a disastrous mess, but in the eyes of God, it's the perfect fulfillment of his plan and of his will. Because our God redeems, our God resurrects, and our God renews. So here Jesus goes, he's feeling the weight and he's feeling the pressure of all of this, but instead of running from the Lord, instead of running from what was ahead of him, he pressed in. He pressed in. And what happened in the moment that Jesus began to press in was that there was a shift that began to take place in his life. Here he's feeling the weight and the pressure and the heaviness of all this agony, and he goes to the place, he goes to the spot of Gethsemane called the oil press. And the thing that I love about this are a couple of things. I'm going to share some practical ways that we can thrive under pressure, and I'm also going to share some spiritual revelation and some spiritual insight on some of this. And there's a couple of things. The first thing is that Jesus, the practical thing is that Jesus prayed. Jesus prayed. If you're under pressure and you're facing pressure, you've got to pray. Tell your neighbor, prayer changes everything. Prayer changes everything. Jesus goes to the garden to pray. He goes to the place knowing what's ahead of him, feeling the weight and feeling the pressure that's on him. So he goes and he submits himself to prayer. He's feeling the weight and the pressure and the heaviness of all of this. And he says, let's go, let's pray. So Jesus goes, he goes to the Garden of Gethsemane. He takes his disciples, takes three of them along a little further with him. And he goes and he begins to pray and he begins to seek the Lord. And he begins to be, the thing that I love about it is that Jesus was honest with the Father. You and I have to admit to God where we are and what we're feeling, okay? Understand that faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. Faith is not pretending that you don't understand the reality of the situation. Faith is knowing full well the weight and the pressure that you are up against and that you are under, but taking that to the Holy Spirit, taking that to the Lord through prayer and saying, God, I understand who you are. I understand what you've said. I know what your word has said. And I know that there are times, there are moments, and there are seasons in my life where I'm going to face trials, where I'm going to face tribulations, where I'm going to go through some things. Remember what Jesus said in John 16:33? I love this. I pulled it up in the New Living Translation today for us to read it. He said, I've told you all this so that you may have peace in me. Here on earth you will have many trials and sorrows, but take heart because I have overcome the world. We serve a God that in every season, in every situation of our life, knows that we're going to face some trials, knows that we're going to face some sorrows, but he says, take heart, have peace in me. I've overcome the world. Jesus says, if you'll rest in me and you'll rely on me and you'll come to me, then in every season of pressure, in every impossible situation and impossible circumstance, when you are convinced that you can't go another step further, come to me, pray, come to me and listen to what I have to say. Listen to what I want to reveal. Listen what I want to speak to your heart to take the heaviness and the burden and the pressure that you feel and shift that and repurpose it in your life. Prayer is essential, but prayer is not just us talking. Prayer is not just us talking. Prayer translated in the Greek is prayer is also worship. So what happens when you and I worship, when we come together as the family of God on Sunday mornings, when we come together on Wednesday nights, during the week at home, when you turn on worship music, when you turn on those songs and you begin singing worship and you begin singing praise to God, those are times where you are praying, where you are literally singing the prayers and the praises of God, and where you and I are positioning ourselves for the encounter that God has for us. And the thing that I love about this is that Jesus didn't just go one time and pray. He went three times. Three times. Why? Because sometimes when you and I pray, especially when we're facing pressure, and especially when we're feeling the weight of something, if we don't feel that immediate shift and we don't feel that immediate release, right? So what do? We don't stop praying, we go back. So Jesus teaches us in this moment, he teaches us the importance of what it is to pray, but he also teaches us the importance of being persistent. He teaches us the importance of perseverance. So in the same sense, he's trying to position us, and he's trying to position his disciples to realize that when it comes to thriving under pressure and seeing the fulfillment of what God has said and God's will and his word accomplished in our lives, that we have to understand that prayer, being the cries of our heart to God, the worship and the praise that we lift up to the Lord, repositions us for what God is saying, for what God is speaking, for what God is doing in our life, because it brings a fresh revelation. It shifts our perspective, but also opens the door for the Holy Spirit to strengthen us. See, the Garden of Gethsemane is so significant because of what it means, because of its translation, because of it being the oil press. In order for an olive to produce the oil that it needs, it has to be pressed. It has to be crushed. Now get this, here Jesus was about to pay the price for our sins, okay? So he goes to the Garden of Gethsemane, and he's facing this overwhelming and this mounting pressure because he's both fully God and both fully man. So he's feeling what any man would feel under the weight and under the pressure of all of this. And so he goes to this place, and this is what I love about this. When we're faced with a kind of pressure, when we're faced with the challenges that we have in life, when we go before the Lord through prayer and through worship, what happens in those moments is that we begin to press in to what God has for us. And what happens when we begin to press in is that God begins to press out everything that's not of him. So when Jesus went to the Garden of Gethsemane, every feeling that he had, every emotion that he had, the weight of what he was facing was real. But when he began to pray and when he began to worship, what was happening in that moment is that he was going through the pressing process. Now, Jesus' pressure was far different from what probably any of us are going to face, but the principles that he illustrates for us are essential to our lives today, because it was through prayer and it was through worship that God and the Holy Spirit began pressing out the flesh, the feelings of the flesh, and that God began filling him with the anointing, the oil that he needed in order to fulfill God's plan and God's will for his life. See, so many times the trials and the tribulations, the sorrows that we face in life, we want to run from them. Amen? I don't want trials and tribulations and sorrows. I don't want problems. Amen? I don't want to have to deal with, and I don't want to have to walk through those things. But if I'm going to have to walk through them, and if I'm going to have to face them, because Jesus said in this life you will face trials, you will face sorrows, I want to face them the way that Jesus did. I don't want to live my life barely surviving. I want to thrive as God has called me to. He's called you and I as believers to bear fruit and fruit that lasts. I want to experience the joy of God and the peace of God and the love of God and the purpose of God, the strength of God. I want to experience the fulfillment of his will and his plans for my life. So what happens when I'm facing extreme pressure in my life is that I do what Jesus did and I go to the place where God literally presses out all of the fear, all of the anxiety, all of the doubt, all of the worry, all of the anguish, where the Holy Spirit begins lifting all of that pressure and that weight from it being all on me to realizing that I am a child of God and I'm following the directions and the paths and the plans and the purposes that he has for me. And I begin to carry the yoke and I begin to carry the burden that Jesus has given, which is much lighter than what I was facing before. And what happens is the Holy Spirit begins filling me up with the anointing. The Holy Spirit begins filling me up with the fresh oil that I need to be able to respond to what's ahead of me, not by my strength, not by my own ability, but by the power of the Holy Spirit. So what happens is I begin responding to the pressure and I begin responding to the situations and the circumstances of my life, no longer based on my wisdom or my understanding or my emotions or my feelings, but based on the revelation and the insight of the Word of God. Because Jesus told the disciples what? He said, the flesh is weak. The spirit is willing, but the flesh is weak. So when Jesus was faced with this moment, there were two things that he did. He prayed, and the second thing was he surrendered his will. Tell your neighbor, you got to surrender your will. Ooh, that's a hard thing for us to do in America. It's tough. Because so many times we surrender it, and then subconsciously we pick it back up again. Or we try to pray our will on the Lord. You ever done that? Lord, I'm just thank you that you're just going to turn this around. That you're going to do, you know, I don't know about you, but I think if I would have been in Jesus' shoes that day, I'd have been like, Lord, I thank you that just like you had a ram in that bush thicket for Isaac, when his father Abraham took him up on the mountain to sacrifice him, there's about to be another lamb that's about to show up in this moment. Hallelujah. Amen, right? You know, we begin praying and prophesying and believing, Lord, I thank you that, right? And Jesus knew all along, I can't pray that because I know. God's already shown me. Sometimes when we get to those situations and we get to those moments, we already know what needs to be done. You ever prayed about something that God already gave you the answer on, but you're like, I'm going to pray about it a little longer. Right? Ron and I had that a few weeks back. We were praying about what to give, and I said, well, what's the Lord told you? And she told me, and she said, what's the Lord told you? And I said the same, let's pray about it. Jesus... What was it that we heard? I don't know if that was right. You know what I'm talking about? You know what God said. You know what's ahead of you, but we want to pray something totally different. Why? Because we feel the pressure of the sacrifice. We feel the pressure of the pain, of the difficulty, of the challenge of what's ahead of us. But Jesus taught us pray and press back in. Pray and press back in. Why? Because in doing so, what happens is God presses out. When we press into God, he presses out of us everything that's not of him. It's that moment that Paul was talking about, that he daily crucified despise the flesh. Why? Because the spirit is always willing, but the flesh is weak. So there's a war that's always waging. It's why again and again we have to go before the Lord and rely on the power and the anointing of the Holy Spirit to respond according to what God has said, what His Word has said, what His Holy Spirit has revealed to us, understanding that I can't rely on my own strength and my own ability. I have to rely on the Lord. So Paul talks about it. There's this constant battle. There's this constant war that's waging. How do we battle that? It's through prayer. So it's why your pastor every week says, spend time every single day in prayer. Spend every single day, spend time in the Word of God. Why? Because it feeds and it nourishes our soul. Jesus, when He taught the disciples how to pray, this wasn't new in surrendering His will. When He taught the disciples how to pray in Matthew chapter 6, what was it that He said? Your kingdom come and Your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Jesus taught us the importance of praying that every day. God, let Your will be done today. Here's the deal. God's will and my will don't look the same. God's will and my will don't look the same. If it were up to my will, we'd be in a mess. Amen? Why? Because I don't see what God sees. I don't understand what God understands. God sees things from a perspective that you and I can't see. God knows things not only from our past, but more importantly from what's ahead of us that we're not prepared for, that we wouldn't see, that we wouldn't know. And so all this while that we're frustrated that God hasn't done His will our way, God has been protecting us and God has been preparing us for what's about to come next. And so what happens in this moment when we're under that pressure that we face and that we feel, we surrender our will to the will of God. Jesus said, not my will, but Yours be done. God, not my will, not the will of my flesh, not my own perspective, not what I think, not what I see, not what I feel, but God, what Your will is. And it was through prayer, through Him pouring His heart out to God, through prayer and continuing to press into what God was saying, that he received from the Lord the peace, the anointing that he needed to continue to fulfill the will of God in his life. Every single one of us in this room are called. Tell your neighbor you're called. If you're a follower of Jesus, you're called. God's call to us is to share the good news of heaven. I loved how Chaplain Holyfield closed out last week, that, Lord, You would stir within our hearts a hunger, a desire to witness, to share Your love with more and more people. God has called all of us to be witnesses. And He sent us the Holy Spirit to empower us to be His witnesses, so that everyone who hears on and calls on the name of the Lord will receive the salvation that God has for us. So in that moment when we realize the call that God has given us, we also have to understand that empowerment from the Holy Spirit is in essence, it's anointing. In the Old Testament, when a king or a priest was put into position, they were anointed. In fact, the process and the protocol through studying the Scripture and the Word of God is they would anoint the right earlobe, they would anoint the right thumb, and they would anoint the right big toe. And the purpose of that was so that they would hear from the Lord and follow the instructions that God had given them, that whatever their hand would set to do and the directions and the ultimately the decrees that they would give, that it would be under the direction, under the anointing of the Lord, and that wherever their feet would lead, that it would be under the leading and the guiding of the Holy Spirit. So, and then they would cover them with oil. So you see where David was anointed king and Samuel... God spoke to Samuel and told him, how long will you grieve for Saul? Fill up your horn with oil and go and anoint the next king. And of course, we see Samuel thinks he's got it figured out who it's going to be. And one of our favorite verses, if you're a follower of Jesus, God says, don't look at his outward appearance, for I have rejected him. Man looks at the outward appearance, but God looks at the heart. Amen. Don't judge a book by its cover. Don't judge people by their cover. Let the Holy Spirit give us eyes to see what God sees. When we look at those around us, all of us have a story. So he anoints him, but that process was they would anoint those three things, and they would pour the oil of God. So the oil was representative, basically, of the Holy Spirit. It was the anointing of God that was being poured out. And so we still anoint. You'll see the little bottle of anointing oil that I have when we pray for someone when they're sick. We anoint that as representative of the anointing of the Holy Spirit, of the presence of God. But in essence, when we say yes to the Lord, there's an empowerment of the Holy Spirit that comes. There's a level of anointing. As we walk with the Lord, as we grow in the Lord, that anointing increases. And I firmly believe that this moment was a moment where we saw the anointing of God increase in Jesus' life, and it happened as a result of prayer. It happened as a result of worship. What happens when you and I press in to what God has for us is that God presses out the things of this world that are hindering us, and he unleashes a new level of his anointing in our lives. And so that's how, as believers, we thrive under pressure. Not because of who we are, but because of who God is. And because we're walking in step with the Holy Spirit and living in tune with what God is speaking and what God is directing. And therefore, it lifts the burden, it lifts the weight, it lifts the pressures of this world and frees us to be able to climb the mountain that's in front of us. Or to speak to the mountain for it to move. Whatever the Holy Spirit says, whatever God's will is. Romans chapter 12, I'll close with this. It says this. I'm going to read this from the New International Version. It says this. It says, "And so, dear brothers and sisters, I plead with you to give your bodies to God because all he has done for you, let them be a living and holy sacrifice, the kind he will find acceptable. This is truly the way to worship him. Don't copy the behavior and customs of this world, but let God transform you into a new person by changing the way you think. Then you will learn how to know God's will for you. Then you will learn to know God's will for you, which is good and pleasing and perfect." The will of God is good, it's pleasing, and it's perfect. And it's only when we spend that time in prayer and in worship that God breaks those patterns of how we think and how we process from the way the rest of the world does to the way that he's called us to. Because what happens is we begin to see things from God's perspective, from heaven's perspective, and it changes everything in every area of our life. James chapter 1, verses 2 through 4 says this, "Consider it pure joy, my brothers and sisters, whenever you face trials of many kinds, because you know that the testing of your faith produces perseverance. Let perseverance finish its work so that you may be mature and complete, not lacking anything." And then in verse number 12, he says, "Blessed is the one who perseveres under trial, because having stood the test, that person will receive the crown of life that the Lord has promised to those who love him." When you and I respond, when you and I respond to the Holy Spirit the way that Jesus did in the Garden of Gethsemane, when you and I respond to pressures in our life the way that Jesus did, when we press in, when we pray, when we worship the Lord, ultimately we position ourselves to experience the transformation of heaven and the empowerment of the Holy Spirit through the anointing of God to be who he's called us to be. Our world needs Jesus. Amen. We all need him. Our world needs him. And I just believe that God has called you and I for such a time as this in this city to be a part of sharing his love with the world. And so I know that there are pressures that some of you are facing and that some of you are going through, some things that you're up against. And I just felt like the Holy Spirit wanted to remind you of what God's word says about that and even what Jesus did when he was facing pressure that we can't even begin to fully understand, that we can't even begin to fully imagine.